Swine flu has come and gone. Or has it? Another international outbreak of influenza rattled the world in recent months. Multiple deaths occurred in multiple countries. But it appears the worst is over and we can return to our normal lives and put this worry behind us. Or should we? Before we move on, let's take another look at the prospect for a modern menace, infectious disease, on this edition of Beyond Today.
Join our host, Darris McNeely, and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Have you ever had the flu? Sure you have, just like most of the population. The common influenza virus we contract usually passes through us in a few days, but while it's with us, we're laid low and can't do much. Our bodies are weakened and pained, and all we can do is hang on, take our medicine, and wish for better days. That said, about 36,000 people die each year in America from the flu. Not a lot compared to the total population, but enough to cause us to go out and get our annual flu shot to give us the immunity from last year's flu. Did you catch that? I said last year's flu. You see, most flu vaccine is based on an already known strain. It takes up to 6 months after scientists identify any new type of flu virus to create a vaccine to fight it. So the flu shot you and I get each year is based on old news. The problem with today's new strains of viral infection is the rapidly changing nature of the virus as it picks up properties from various animals and then makes the jump to humans, which leads us to the latest scare that has passed through the nations, the swine flu of 2009. This past April, when the first cases of H1N1 swine flu were detected in Mexico and the United States, health officials around the world went on high alert. Surveillance measures were put in place. Pharmaceutical companies stepped up production of antiviral drugs. In cities with confirmed cases, schools were closed. Large public gatherings, such as sporting events and concerts, were canceled. Malls, restaurants, and other public places were found to be empty. You see, the scenes were very similar to what happened during the SARS and avian flu outbreaks that unfolded in Asia earlier this decade. Aided by modern transportation, the virus quickly spread to 40 countries and 5 continents. By mid-May, officials reported almost 9,000 cases of swine flu and at least 75 deaths. At that point, the World Health Organization still wasn't ready to declare the never-before-seen virus a pandemic. A pandemic is a global disease outbreak. But the World Health Organization Director General Margaret Chan warned that it had pandemic potential. Now, what the final outcome will be remains to be seen. With the arrival of summer in the Northern Hemisphere and warm temperatures that flu bugs really don't like, the spread appears to have slowed considerably. Others have noted that while there have been a large number of infections, this strain has been milder than originally feared and has been responsible for a relatively small number of fatalities. But headlines say that it could come back and could come back with ferocity. The acting director of the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia, warns that that may only be the lull before the storm. You see, his concern is what will happen this fall or this winter when the traditional flu season begins again. He says what has been seen with previous outbreaks is flu goes away in the summer. But during the winter, flu spreads better, so the virus could go away and come back. Another expert says, I believe we're not out of the woods yet. I'm concerned, he says, that this virus is going to be with us for a while. It could change, become more virulent, have an increased secondary transmission rate in the future. What we are dealing with in this series of programs is another one of the signs of that Jesus Christ pointed to at the end of the age. Now, these reasoned opinions from doctors and scientists give us reason to remember the very direct and strict warning that Jesus Christ gave that the close of the human age would see the rise of disease pandemic on a global scale. We've been covering the signs Christ gave in his Olivet prophecy concerning his coming and the end of the age in Matthew chapter 24. After Christ described widespread spiritual deception in the initial verses, where he said that his name and his message would be distorted, there would be nations warring against each other and world famine, he came to the sign of pestilence in Matthew 24 and verse 7. Now these four signs parallel the four seals of Revelation chapter 6, sometimes called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Back in Revelation chapter 6 and in verse 8, we read about the ride of the pale horse of pestilence. And it says there, "I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death. And the grave followed with him, and power was given to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and the beasts of the earth." The Expositor's Bible Commentary, commenting on this verse, says that about the color of that fourth horse, the pale color, it really is talking about a yellowish green. It says the light green of a plant or the paleness of a sick person in contrast to the healthy appearance of one who is well. Put bluntly, this horse, this fourth horse, is the color of death by disease. Those seals of Revelation 6 and the signs of Matthew 24 all have a cumulative effect. False religion causes instability within relationships relating to war. Famine follows war. And when malnourishment occurs and when social systems break down, human beings are more susceptible to disease. These seals depict the ferocity of problems unleashed on the world in the lead up to what the Bible calls the Day of the Lord. Now, how close are we to these events becoming our daily headlines today? Well, we may be closer than one might really want to think. Christ also said that people would not want to be distracted by the potential for such horrific scenes. They would not want their routine, comfortable lives to be interrupted by the thought that it could all come apart. How about you? Are you this way? I hope not. Let's consider the reality of disease in our world today. Headlines talk about deadly pathogens emerging or re-emerging. The swine flu isn't the only disease problem health officials are concerned about right now. The World Health Organization is monitoring about 40 emerging infectious diseases, which have only been around for two or three decades at the most. This list includes, among others, AIDS, Ebola, mad cow disease, remember that one, West Nile virus, Lyme disease. These are pathogens. They're bad things. They're bad diseases. They've either mutated or they've genetically recombined to become new strains or novel microbes that may have existed for thousands of years but weren't really discovered until recent years. According to the World Health Organization, at least one new infectious disease has emerged each year since 1980, most of which evade traditional therapies and have no vaccine or cure. There are far more virulent, very difficult to treat infectious diseases today than there were 20 or 30 years ago. At the same time, old infectious diseases once believed to be controlled, such as tuberculosis, staphylococcus, cholera, malaria, hepatitis, influenza, and diphtheria, these are reemerging as deadly, new, often drug-resistant strains, or they're springing up in new regions of the world. With so many deadly pathogens coming on the scene, infectious disease are once again becoming the leading cause of death in the world, something that hasn't been the case since the pre-antibiotic era of the early 1900s. Of the estimated 57 million deaths that occur annually in the world, experts estimate 15 million are directly caused by infectious disease. Millions more deaths are due to secondary effects of infections. Scientists have identified close to 200 viral, bacterial, parasitic, and fungal pathogens that are linked with emerging and re-emerging infections in humans. There could be another 1,000 different pathogens out there that just have not been introduced yet into the general population. At least 75% of these pathogens are zoonosis, which means that they're transmitted between animals and people. I know that's a big word, zoonosis, but we'll come back to it. And what makes these diseases even more problematic is that transmission can occur through direct contact with an infected animal's blood, saliva, urine, or feces, or via an intermediate type of transmission, typically an insect or a rodent, which gets the pathogen from the infected animal reservoir and then passes it on to people. Zoonotic diseases cannot usually be eradicated due to the fact that it's not possible to eliminate all of the animal reservoirs that might be carrying that type of disease. Even if you developed a vaccine and a cure, for a particular zoonotic disease, and it was somehow possible to simultaneously treat every person in the world that had it, there are still animals that can transmit that disease back to humans and continue the spread of that pathogen. Now, Bible prophecy reveals some very critical information about the future of mankind. Where do you start to understand this? You see, it's very important that all of us have understanding and information that helps us deal with the very scary, frightening headlines that we deal with on a regular basis. That's why on Beyond Today, our literature, our booklets, and our magazines dealing with prophecy and the times we live in and what the Bible says about the future offer a message of hope. This particular booklet that we're offering for you today, Are We Living in the Time of the End?, is a booklet that will help you to accurately understand Bible prophecy. You want to see the true extent of prophecy, which includes how to deal with matters that are in front of us in our lives today and how to have hope for the future, how it all links together with the past, present, and future. So request your free copy today. Go online right now to beyondtoday.tv to download, read, or order your free copy of Are We Living in the Time of the End? Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go online to beyondtoday.tv. Let's look at some of the human factors behind the origins of these pandemics. You see, there are a lot of factors behind this disease epidemics. Many scientists believe that mankind is actually creating its own disease problems, albeit unintentionally. Vaccine expert Thomas Monath says that in almost every case, humans are the most important single factor in the surge of new diseases. Whether it's feeding cow tissue to cattle to cause mad cow disease, or people eating exotic animals in the case of Ebola, or air travel spreading fever around the world. We're not simply victims of emerging infection. We're making changes in our environment, in our lifestyles, to cause the emergence or the spread of disease. Most of the change that has occurred involves several key areas. Let's look at a few. Agricultural practices, for instance, and the consumption of exotic animals. One of the primary ways that new diseases emerge is through what biologists call genetic recombination. This can happen when two or more animal species come in contact with each other and exchange the virus that each carries. Two different viruses may infect the same cell, then the genes get jumbled and a totally new virus emerges, which contains genetic material from both parental strains. This is called polyculture. And it's an interesting term. Get used to it. Because one way all of this is happening is through a farming method that is called polyculture, which is becoming an increasingly common practice in Asia. Listen to this very carefully and understand this one. Ducks or chickens are kept in cages hung above pigs, which are housed in pens directly above fish ponds, where other types of fowl may also swim and eliminate their own wastes. Farmers then utilize this polyculture to save money on pig feed and increase yields of fish. The pigs feed on the duck droppings and the pig manure fertilizes the fish pond. The problem is it puts ducks and other waterfowl, which are major reservoirs of influenza virus, although it doesn't really affect them, but it puts them in direct contact with pigs, which may also be harboring influenza viruses. A pig that eats duck droppings takes in any virus that ducks may have, which may include both bird and human flu virus. Those combine with the pig's influenza virus, and then they're all mixed up inside the pig's stomach. Are you sick about right now? No, we should be. See, that's how the H1N1 influenza virus, which is a mixture of bird, human, and pig flu viruses, came to be. If a human flu virus, which is easily transmissible to humans, combines with a virulent and novel duck or swine flu, that's when you have problems, say experts. Here's another potential problem. Recombination can also occur when humans eat non-domesticated exotic animals, such as in China, where they eat exotic animals like civet cats, coral snakes, tree shrews, flying squirrels, badgers, martens, and pangolins. They're considered delicacies there. In Africa, monkeys, apes, aardvarks, and rats are all popular meat choices. Guinea pigs, capybaras, and armadillos are commonly eaten in Central and South America. When people consume these meats, any viruses the animal may have been carrying can combine with viruses the person may have. The result may be a new pathogen that infects human beings. The bottom line is the practice of consuming wild species opens the door for a much wider variety of pathogens, those from wild animals. They come in contact with humans and they develop the ability to be transmitted. There's another factor that is causing this spread of problems and viruses around the world, and that is the rapid speed and pace of travel. Since the third quarter of the 20th century, individuals have been able to travel huge distances in a matter of hours, well within the incubation period of many infectious diseases. You see, today anyone can get on a plane, go to another side of the world in a matter of 24 to 36 hours. The speed of travel enables an American to go on safari in Kenya, pick up the Ebola virus, fly back home to New York, pass unnoticed through immigration and customs checks, and then spend the next few days back at work before suddenly getting sick. During the incubation period, the time between getting infected and developing clinical signs of disease, this person may expose hundreds of people to the virus. One expert warns that people can be spreading disease and not even know they're ill. This is different from past days when people traveled by ship, where it may have taken several weeks to travel from one continent to another. If someone had picked up a virus before getting on the ship, he would have developed that disease while still on board, and upon arrival, it would have been obvious to port authorities which passengers were sick and needed to be quarantined. As illustrated by the recent rapid spread of H1N1 swine flu virus, modern travel can allow deadly pathogens to quickly outrace our best preventative measures. The spread of disease from human behavior, from changes within our environment, from the rapid global pace of travel is a major cause and major contributors to the problems that we are facing today with the prospect of global pandemic disease epidemics. It's a very critical issue. It's something that in many ways is beyond our control to deal with and to develop and to handle. And yet there are matters that you and I can take into our own hands to manage our life and to combat some of these problems. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by our Beyond Today panel, and we're going to go through some very key points that can help all of us deal with these problems and be armed for the future. The source of that information may surprise you. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Is the 21st century the beginning of the end of the world as we know it, with America's big cities blown up like Baghdad and its government shattered? Your free copy of Are We Living in the Time of the End will reveal what the Bible says about our world in perpetual crisis. See among hundreds of prophecies where we are now in a timeline of events Jesus predicted would be worse than ever before or will be ever again. Read Jesus' predictions in the book of Revelation and his comparison of Noah's age with ours. While many religions contradict one another, prepare yourself by knowing for yourself what the Bible says by calling 1-888-886-8632 or going to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Are We Living in the Time of the End? Does God really exist? Scientists now say you can prove it. What's the best way to rear your children for success? Questions need positive answers to the world's greatest issues and your personal ones as well. That's what you'll get when you get your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free subscription. You'll be glad you did.
And we are back to Beyond Today. We're discussing infectious disease, the modern problem that is confronting us in our headlines today. You've just been offered a booklet about prophecy, understanding the time of the end. When you go online to order that booklet, you will also have the opportunity to subscribe to the Good News Magazine. This is a free magazine that comes out 6 times each year that goes through many different topics regarding Bible prophecy, Christian living, other articles regarding the family and your personal life that you're going to want to have this magazine coming into your home free of charge, the Good News Magazine. Be sure to request your free subscription. I'm joined with the Beyond Today panel, Gary Petty, Steve Myers, to continue this discussion about modern problems of infectious disease. Gentlemen, we talked a little bit about the exotic animals that are part of a regular diet in many parts of the world. Does this tell us something, or does the Bible have something to say about the very food that we put into our mouths and this subject of infectious disease?
You know, it's interesting, Darris. When you look into the Bible, it talks about clean and unclean animals. Most people think about clean and unclean animals in the Bible basically as ceremonial laws. And they did have to do with ceremony. And they had to do with God's instruction to his people in the Old Testament as proof of their obedience to him. But when you look at those lists, Leviticus and Deuteronomy, what you see is a list of animals that are good for human consumption and a list of animals that are not. You know, it's interesting, one of the animals on the list is the pig. Now, almost any disease, it's amazing how many problems people have with health. They go in to see the doctor, first thing he says is stop eating pork. Mm-hmm. So yes, those clean and unclean list of foods aren't just for ceremonial laws.
Nor were they just for the Israelites or for the Jews.
Right. They show what is fit for human consumption and what isn't.
So they're for all people.
Yes.
At all times.
Right.
One of the interesting things is some of the things that are very popular today, you see some of these programs like Fear Factor, or there's a number of different shows that people have to eat these wacky things. And it's interesting to watch the reactions to people when they have the creepy,
they have
crawly,
a natural revulsion.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's disgusting. And people will watch because it's so disgusting and revolting. Like, who in the world in their right mind would eat that? And yet people do it. And, you know, it seems nature itself tells you something's wrong with this.
And yet there are other shows where those are portrayed as delicacies.
Right.
Some of the cooking food shows.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we spent quite a bit of time down in the New Orleans area, and they eat a lot of seafood down there. And it's interesting, if you study about some of these different creatures that are out there in the sea, whether it be crawfish or clams, they're called bioaccumulators. And their bodies store toxins. And yet people cook them and eat them, and they inherently have the toxins in their bodies. And then we eat that, and then we wonder why we get sick.
Really, the point we're trying to get across is here is that for the individual, for our viewers, there are things that they can do that make them responsible, make us responsible for managing our health and managing even the times, these critical periods where these pandemics are on the horizon. The Bible talks about other things, and the source for this information is God's Word. But the Bible also talks about overcrowded megacities and too many people packed into small locations, and has something to say about that in regard to sanitation, waste removal, and preventing disease, doesn't it?
When you look at the Torah, when you look at Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, mm-hmm. Deuteronomy, there are laws in there that God gave to those people that are sanitary laws. And one of the most important ones was that waste, human waste, was to be removed from the populace. Now, in today's world, a lot of epidemics are caused because of unsanitary use of human waste. And so even there, we can go to the Bible and see instructions on how to have better lives, better health, by simply removing human waste from among us.
Even here in our country, what's interesting is how often do you hear on the news about E. coli and different
yes.
outbreaks of that? Well, where does that come from? Well, oftentimes it's workers in the fields that are picking the different fruits or vegetables or whatever it may be. And sure enough, that's where they're going to the bathroom. And so it causes disease. Mm-hmm. And so imagine if you're in a country that doesn't know how to dispose of human waste properly. Well, you're just inviting disease and epidemics to come about.
And most people would never think of the Bible.
Yeah.
As a source to go,
right,
to be told, don't do that.
Right. And those very things that the scriptures give specific comments about are the matters that are really in front of us. And people don't like to admit this or actually know it today, but the things you talk about of E. coli and these problems are being done in the food developing nations that are feeding the major populations of North America today.
Yeah,
and that stuff is coming in to our population, to our grocery counters, through a lot of the produce and fruit that comes from some of these areas where these sanitation practices are not mentioned.
It's an important thing, I think, that you mentioned, is that people laugh at looking to the Bible for a standard, for a cleanliness standard, for getting rid of waste standard. And yet, there is a biblical standard. God set that up with ancient Israel, that if you do these things, none of these diseases will come on you. And one of those things was taking care of waste properly. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if we don't, we're just inviting problems.
So these are two specific areas right here. What we choose to eat based on what God tells us is clean and unclean. We should be fit for human consumption. Even the larger management of things like sanitation and waste. There's also another personal matter, and that deals with morality. Because the Bible's very clear about what constitutes sexually immoral behavior, which is another major way by which various diseases are spread, even potentially to the point of pandemic as well, right?
Well, here we are. This is the best way to step on people's toes. This will upset everyone. But the bottom line is...
We might as well do it.
the truth is that the STDs can be avoided. Those are diseases, and those are pandemics all over the world. Gonorrhea, syphilis, AIDS, those can be stopped just by changing human behavior. And the Bible tells us that the Creator made us to have a sexual relationship within marriage, between a man and a woman, within marriage, and that's the only safe place. There are no sexually transmitted diseases in marriage, in a monogamous marriage. So we could stop these diseases, but we want to have our cake and eat it too, and we can't do that.
Yeah, and exactly. When you try to look at the standard that's out there, oftentimes, what is the medical field doing? They're trying to treat the symptoms. Mm-hmm. So they want an immunization for this. They want some type of a pill to solve this STD or this problem. But they don't want to get right down to the cause.
We don't want to deal with the behavior because we like the behavior.
Exactly. Don't tell me what to eat. Right. Don't tell me, you know, about sexual relationships. I don't want to hear it. I want my freedom to do what I want. But the facts are there are guidelines. There is law that God has established to prevent these kinds of things. And if you would listen to that, find out what they are, find out what would be pleasing to God and what His standards are, we could avoid these diseases.
When we look at pandemics and the breadth by which they are described in the Bible, we're really seeing the physical mirror of the spiritual problem of a broken relationship with God.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And we're suffering because we are in a broken relationship with God. Humanity is.
And yet all of us have things that we can do to begin to manage our own life, taking the personal responsibility and confronting these issues that are before us today. We all have that responsibility before God. Stay with us. We'll be right back for a final word of conclusion.
Is the 21st century the beginning of the end of the world as we know it, with America's big cities blown up like Baghdad and its government shattered? While many religions contradict one another, prepare yourself by knowing for yourself what the Bible says by calling 1-888-886-8632 or going to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Are We Living in the Time of the End?
Jesus Christ gives today's world a direct warning about what lies ahead with pandemic disease. It is not a warning to dismiss as irrelevant and unlikely to happen. Today's headlines tell us the potential is on our doorstep. Human actions have consequences, and this is one example of how severe they can be. The problem is spiritual. Today, humanity as a whole is cut off from God. Protection from disease isn't there. But you can arm yourself with information, spiritual information, that will begin to cover the gap and make a difference in your life. Jesus Christ will return to earth and establish God's everlasting kingdom. We can look forward to that day when mankind will be united with its Creator and will receive all the blessings of living God's way of life, which includes good health and a world free of disease outbreaks. For Beyond Today, I'm Darris McNeely. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.